You're listening to Moon Monkey. On this episode, we're going to be talking about Can You Ever Forgive Me, directed by Marielle Heller.
So it's based on the real-life story of Lee Israel, who's played by Melissa McCarthy. We meet Lee, and she's a struggling author, and she can't pay her bills. You know, she's got a sick cat. And while she's trying to research her next biography on Fanny Bryce, which her agent says, you know, I can't sell that. Nobody wants to read it.
She's already had some success, I think, with her previous biography of Fanny Bryce.
She's of somebody. I don't think it was a Fanny Bryce. Anyway, it was a biography of someone. While she's researching this for Fanny Bryce biography, which her agent has already told her nobody wants, she finds a letter. And it's a personal letter, and she manages to sell that for the rent money. From Fanny to someone. And she manages to sell that to pay for her rent, and she discovers that, you know, there's a big market for these letters. And if they're a bit more spicy, if they've got a bit more, something a bit more personal in them, she would be able to make a lot more money. So she ends up forging the signature of, like, No Coward and various other authors.
Typing out the letters herself and then forging the signature. So, yeah, forging the literary letters.
So she becomes all these famous people from the past and sells them for quite a bit of money. And that does lead to her being on the FBI watch list because she becomes quite known as being this master forger of all these letters. So she has to get someone else to sell the letters that she's making. So that brings in Richard E. Grant playing Jack Hawk.
Yep.
Who is really good in this as well.
I think he's also meant to be like a struggling author, isn't he?
We don't
really find out what he does.
Like, Jack Hawk's just like some kind of vagabond. Just like, we don't know what's going on.
He just wanders around. I got the sense that like he was also like, because he knew her from some other party. So I have a feeling he was in that scene.
I feel like we'd
fall on hard times.
I feel like Jack.
Don't go in too much to his background.
I feel like Jack was just in the party scene.
He has one defining quality, which he reveals early on. But yeah, I thought Melissa McCarthy's performance in this was fantastic. Obviously, she's most well known for comedies, Bridesmaids, and Ghostbusters remake. I can't remember what else we've seen her in.
But, she's always, like, whenever it's a serious show, she's really great, I think.
Yeah.
She's a lot like Steve Carell, who's more associated with comedy, but whenever they do something serious, I think they're really, really good.
Yeah, he's shown his talents as a serious actor. And I think Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, again, like, from that kind of comedy background, but fantastic in this.
Yeah.
And there's such a warmth between the two characters. It's a lot like Green Book, which I really liked. But I felt like this was just a bit more gritty and had a bit more heart to it. Not as much, but I don't know. It was something, it had a more natural feeling of warmth between the two characters.
Green Book is a very, like, polished product. Like, they know exactly what they're doing and when they're trying to tug your heartstrings. This, like you say, it felt more, it wasn't artifice, like it was real, the relationship between the actors and things. And the way it was directed and shot as well, it's much more down to earth.
And it has
that. We're living in this sort of run-down apartment.
It has that feeling of, like, 1990s New York and, like, all these, like, little bookstores and dingy bars and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And them just kind of struggling to get by and why they would go into this world of forging letters and things, you know? I really like that kind of aspect of it. But I found out that it wasn't even supposed to be this director. She just came in at the last minute. And originally, it wasn't supposed to be Melissa McCarthy. It was supposed to be Julianne Moore. And it wasn't supposed to be Richard E. Grant. It was supposed to be Chris O'Dowd. And after watching that, I think, like, if it had been Julianne Moore and Chris O'Dowd, it would have been a very different movie, because, like, I feel like the two of them just really capture, like, you can't really imagine other people doing it for me. Because I think, like Richard E. Grant especially, like, is fantastic in this, I think. You know, I can't imagine anyone else being Jack Hawk.
Yeah.
To be fairful honest, because he was that good.
Yeah, they embody the roles really well. Yeah, I can't imagine those two actors playing it. That would have probably been, more like your typical Hollywood story.
Yeah.
Whereas this felt, like you say, like two, even though they're big name actors as well, Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant, they're able to play sort of down and out characters better than like big, like Julianne Moore.
And there's a little bit of like, with Neil, like Richard E. Grant, with Neil and I. Not like loads, but just the fact that he's a, you know, yeah, enjoys.
But no, it was a pretty interesting story. Like, I hadn't heard of this story before. There's not a lot to it. I mean, it's like struggling author hits on a sort of wheeze to make money.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I think, like you said, it's the relationships between the characters that make it.
Yeah, it's a really good like comedy drama, and you know the sense of like what it is to get older and that loneliness, and how especially like, well, both the characters, yeah, I mean, but maybe Melissa McCarthy has like built this wall when she's impossible to be around. Like her agent, like played by Jane Curtin's, like, oh, you know, you can't be around.
Yeah, which were really quite depressing, seeing her going to parties and no one wants to talk to her or know her, and she's living alone in this apartment with her cat.
She doesn't want to talk to anybody, and her cat's all she's got, and like when the cat gets sick, you're like, oh, you know, she's...
I know, but it's just that's tragic.
It is tragic, but yeah, like, but she's, like, the thing is, like, Melissa McCarthy, like, the performance shows you, and the way it's written and constructed shows you, like, how she's become that person, like, she pushes everybody away.
Yeah.
And any time she does open up, you know, she does get let down.
Yeah,
well,
sort of a side swipe on the idea of fame and literary fame as well. Because obviously the fact, like, she's had fame and then now she's, like, lost it, no one wants to know her. But ironically, people who are dead, people are willing to spend ridiculous money buying letters from people who are no longer even around because they have fame and because they are well-known people. So it's sort of like a bit of a satire on fame and celebrity, celebrity culture, I guess.
She doesn't want to sell out and be, what's that author's name?
There's an author in it that they, Tom Clancy?
Yeah, she doesn't want to sell out and be Tom Clancy.
No.
Just this red baiting trash, whatever.
Yeah, just publishing trash books that are really popular, but she's trying to do something that, like, actually means something to her, but struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked this movie. I thought they were really good, and there was a bit, you know, it was a bit flawed, but, you know, I think, like, that's part of the charm of it, because, like, the characters are flawed and stuff, you know, like, it's not, like, this glossy movie and stuff like that. I don't mean flawed in a bad way, I mean, like, the characters and the, you know, it has that feeling of, like, you know, just the people are flawed.
Mm.
And it's interesting, like, seeing, like, getting older, and it's, like, two characters that are over 50 and gay. As well, like, there's not many movies that I think have.
Oh yeah, I mean that was really good, and they didn't sort of make a big deal of that. It's not gonna, like, I would imagine, like, it's not gonna pack theaters because it's not like a film about like a grand epic sweeping narrative. It's a very small scale film about these two characters and what they did. But yeah, if you're looking for something a little different with some great performances and a really well made film about a sort of, like, quirky little story.
It's just got a lot of warmth and charm to it.
Yeah, so then this would probably be for you. Also, some good songs on the soundtrack. Pixies. Yes,
that's true. Those some good
songs. And Lou Reed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our review of Can You Ever Forgive Me? We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check back soon for more reviews.